Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record Program number 573, titled Alpha Males, One Hell of a Conspiracy Theory, Part 2. This program is being recorded on October 15th of the year 2006. This broadcast is a follow-up, obviously, a continuation of a line of analysis presented in, among other programs, For the Record 530, Alpha Males, One Hell of a Conspiracy Theory, Part 1. And also, this is going to be continuing a line of inquiry that has featured in a number of other For the Record programs as well. Now, a couple of terms that should be understood here. One of them is my favorite, milieu. A lot of people give me a lot of BS about using that word. Well, there are few, if any, appropriate synonyms. And what it means is an environment, a social slash political and or economic environment. And that is a very important concept here, because in examining, among other things, September 11th and what led up to that and what has come out of that, it is really what one is dealing with. One is dealing with a milieu. And we're going to be looking at a milieu here that has more connections than a switchboard. Another term to understand, it's a term that was coined by former national security analyst and now University of Texas professor Philip Bobbitt in his book, The Shield of Achilles. In that book, Philip Bobbitt coined the term virtual state, meaning a state, a political state, but one without formal geographical boundaries. And in looking at what I call the underground Reich, we are looking at just such a virtual state. It exists in various countries. It exists within religious organizations. It exists within economic organizations and within political milieu, plural. And yet it does not have formal geographical boundaries. Al-Qaeda and other Muslim Brotherhood offshoots could be viewed as virtual states as well. But what we're going to be looking at in this broadcast is a network of relationships that joins elements of German big business and the German government with elements of American big business and the American government, with powerful economic interests in the Middle East, with members of the Muslim Brotherhood, such as the late Mohammed Atta, who certainly appears to have been a Brotherhood member and was certainly, arguably, the lead 911 hijacker. And we're going to be taking a look at a series of relationships of which Mohammed Atta was a part, and we're going to be taking a look at how Atta's milieu intersects with people like Wolfgang Boringer, one of the German pilots and one of the German and Austrian and Swiss South Florida connections of Mohammed Atta, one of the people he referred to as his brother. Boringer, as we looked at in For the Record 570, our last visit with Daniel Hopsicker, was a pilot for an Eastern European organized crime figure named Viktor Kozeny, K-O-Z-E-N-Y, dubbed the Pirate of Prague. Kozeny also has more connections than a switchboard. He is indeed a pirate, but this is an individual who was involved with, among other things, scams involving the Alpha Group. And we're going to take a look in this broadcast at a milieu that not only includes, I should say, people like Mohammed Atta and his German, perhaps German Nazi associate, Wolfgang Boringer, because there are allegations that Boringer's Flying Club of Munich does indeed have Nazi connections, as I had theorized. And we're going to be taking a look at how the underworld of Mohammed Atta and the underworld of people like Viktor Kozeny and Wolfgang Boringer intersects the overworld. And we're going to take a look at some very powerful institutions and people that overlap this milieu. And when one looks at 9/11, one is looking at an international network that embraces the fusion of the overworld, the world of big business, big government, and celebrity, with a capital C, with the underworld, elements that we are told are simply criminal and inhabit a world all their own. As we will see, they inhabit a world which impinges only too directly on all of us, as September 11th, among other incidents, indicated only too directly. One of the main names to understand here is the Alpha Corporation. That's a Russian-based conglomerate with, again, more connections than a switchboard. It is involved with, among other things, heroin trafficking, cocaine trafficking, some of the heroin trafficking overlapping business deals, including Halliburton Oil Company. It was, that is to say, the Alpha Group has been involved with Chechens who were engaged in heroin trafficking. It has been engaged with the scandalous oil for food program, and in that regard, some of the Republican Party and George Bush's biggest backers were involved with Alpha's operations. And as we're going to see, Alpha has defrauded and ripped off a great many individuals and institutions. And Alpha's lobbying organization in the United States is the PR firm of Barber, Griffith, and Rogers. Or maybe it's Barber, Rogers, and Griffith. We'll be reading it straight from the record. But that is the lobbying firm of Haley Barber. He is now the GOP governor of Mississippi, and Haley Barber also is the main figure involved with New Bridge Organization. That is a major contractor and subcontractor for some of the lucrative contracts in, quote, rebuilding, unquote, Iraq. It is the lobbying firm of Haley Barber that represents, basically handles the PR for the criminal Alpha organization in the United States. And as we're going to see, Alpha significantly overlaps the milieu of Mohammed Atta. So hang on to your hats. Here we go. And what we're going to begin with is reprising some information from For the Record program number 530. Alpha Males, by the way, Alpha is ALFA. That refers to the Alpha Group. The actual anthropological term is ALPHA, but this is ALFA. We're going to reprise some information from For the Record 530. Alpha Males, One Hell of a Conspiracy Theory, Part 1. And in turn, we're going to be reading about the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft and its offshoots, including the Alpha Fellowship. This from the Mohammed Atta Worked for Elite U.S. German Government Exchange Program, authored by Daniel Hopsicker, from the Mad Cow Morning News of April 24th of 2003. For at least 4 years, while living in Hamburg during the 1990s, terrorist ringleader Mohammed Atta was part of a joint venture between the U.S. and German governments, the Mad Cow Morning News has learned, an elite international exchange program run by a little-known private organization with close ties to powerful American political figures like David Rockefeller and former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. The jointly funded government effort picked up the tab for Atta on sojourns in Cairo, Istanbul, and Aleppo, Syria during the years 1994 and 1995, as well as employing him as a tutor and seminar participant, unquote, during 1996 and 7. Moreover, Atta's financial relationship with the U.S.-German government effort may even have extended back to his initial move from Egypt to Germany in 1992, after being, quote, recruited, unquote, in Cairo by a mysterious German couple dubbed the hijackers' sponsors in a recent news account in the Chicago Tribune. Mohammed Atta, before becoming a terrorist ringleader, unquote, enjoyed the patronage of a government initiative known as the Congress Bundestag Program, overseen by the U.S. State Department and the German Ministry of Economic Development, the German equivalent of the U.S. Agency for International Development, busy currently supervising the secretive bidding race for tens of billions of dollars of post-war reconstruction contracts in Iraq. Again, by the way, interrupting, this article was authored in April of 2003. And we're going to see just how directly some of these same elements fit into this entire concatenation. Continuing with Hopsicker's article. News that Mohammed Atta had been on the payroll of the elite international program surfaced in a curious way just a month after the 9/11 attack. A brief seven-line report by German newspaper Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung on October 18, 2001, under the headline, Atta was tutor for scholarship holders, unquote. The story quoted spokesman for Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft, described as a German international further education organization, unquote, as having admitted paying Hamburg cadre principal Atta as a scholarship holder and tutor, unquote, between 1995 and 1997. But what makes the story curious is that the German paper concealed the shocking implications of their story that Mohammed Atta had been on the payroll of a joint U.S. government. Beginning again. But what makes the story curious is that the German paper concealed the shocking implications of their story that Mohammed Atta had been on the payroll of a joint U.S.-German government program through the simple expedient of neglecting to mention that the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft was merely a private entity set up to administer the exchange initiative of the two governments. The U.S. end of the program is run out of an address at United Nations Plaza in New York by CDS International. The letters stand for Karl Duisberg Society, also the name of its German counterpart in Cologne, the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft. Both are named for Karl Duisberg, a German chemist and industrialist who headed the Bayer Corporation during the 1920s. Interrupting briefly, Bayer was part of the IG Farben chemical cartel that not only came up with the Fischer-Tropsch hydrogenation process that we've spoken about in recent broadcasts, but that also invented, among other things, heroin and aspirin and also methadone, originally a synthetic opiate developed by the Nazis in the run-up by the Germans in the run-up to World War II and named Dulafine after Adolf Hitler. Karl Duisberg, also, by the way, was the inventor of poison gas, the first weapon of mass destruction. Continuing. Henry Kissinger, to cite just one example, had at one time addressed over 100 international business leaders at an anniversary dinner organized and celebrating CDS International held at the River Club of New York, June 2, 1987. Kissinger congratulated CDS International on its 20 years of service in keeping close business ties not only between Germany and the United States, but more recently through career development programs for participants from other countries as well. 5 years later, Mohammed Atta became one of these participants from, quote, other, unquote, countries. Interrupting again briefly, it is this relationship between the U.S. and German governments, in turn, derivative of a relationship between powerful American and German corporations that exemplifies the transatlantic financial, industrial, and political axis that birthed the Third Reich in the first place and that perpetuated the underground Reich in the post-war years. What we're looking at here is an extension of part of the underground Reich. Continuing with Hopsicker's article. CDS International, states the organization's literature, provides opportunities for young German engineers. Mohammed Atta wasn't, strictly speaking, a young German engineer, but apparently Kissinger's praise for career development programs for participants from other countries as well had been taken to heart by the friendly folks at the Karl Duisberg Society. These young German engineers earn real-world experience and are given assignments to contribute from the start, a program spokesman enthused in a newspaper interview. The organization is today understandably shy about mentioning that their most famous recent graduate's real-world experience included murdering almost 3,000 people in New York City in slightly less than 2 hours. A financial relationship between the terrorist ringleader and the U.S. and German governments has not previously even been hinted at in America's major media. The conspiracy-minded might conclude that the fact that the scoop is going to the Mad Cow Morning News may owe something to the program's raft of politically powerful boosters. Having big juice in high places may also explain more equally curious omissions in a second story about Mohammed Atta's time in Germany, which appeared recently in the March 7, 2003 Chicago Tribune under the headline, 9/11 Haunts Hijackers' Sponsors. German couple talks of living with pilot Atta. The article describes the 1992 meeting in Cairo between Atta and a German couple running an international student exchange program, unquote, a meeting which the Tribune says led Atta to move to Hamburg. During a visit to the Egyptian capital in the fall of 1991, the Tribune reported, the German couple had stayed with friends who knew Atta's father. A Cairo lawyer and his father's friends had then introduced the German couple to Atta. Atta, who had recently graduated with a degree in architectural engineering from the University of Cairo, told the couple he wanted to study architecture in Germany, but he had no particular idea where he should go, the paper reported. Parenthetically, as we've looked at with Hopsicker's subsequent articles, Mohammed Atta's father was apparently running the hijackers in Florida, one of the many aspects of Mohammed Atta's activities in Florida that have been covered up. Continuing. Though the article neglects to mention it, the reason Atta found himself with no particular idea where he should go was because although he had studied engineering at prestigious Cairo University, he had not fared well enough to gain admission to its graduate school. The paper quotes the German wife telling investigators, "In this first conversation, we suggested he continue his studies in Hamburg and offered him a place to live at our house," unquote. Atta, she states, accepted their offer right away. This magnanimous gesture by the German couple to an undistinguished young man they have just met raises serious questions. Perhaps their gesture is just the very milk of human kindness. Perhaps it is something else. Why did this German couple running an international exchange program leap at the opportunity to help a young man not considered promising enough to gain entrance to graduate school in Cairo and offer him a place to live at their house? The Tribune doesn't say. And they have made it difficult for anyone else to follow up their story because they neglected to identify either the couple or the international program they ran by name. But although the Tribune correspondent Stevenson Swanson cites the German couple for having played such an important role in Atta's move to Germany, unquote, he never gives either their names nor that of the organization they worked for. This is some curious, if you know what we mean. After all, the story is 1,200 words in length, so it's not as if they didn't have room to print the names, is it? Jane and John Doe from Help a Student International would have been enough. You know, who, what, when, where, and why? So either the Tribune just forgot the who, or something even weirder happened. After studying German in Cairo, Atta arrived in Germany on July 24, 1992, according to investigators' records, and then lived rent-free for at least the next 6 months in the couple's home in a quiet, middle-class suburb. And since just 2 years later, Atta was on the payroll of the Congress Bundestag program, it is reasonable to conclude, and no thanks to the Chicago Tribune, that it was also the exchange program, unquote, responsible for bringing him to Germany in the first place. CDS International's elite sponsors are apparently influential enough to have kept their organization's name out of the papers, or at any rate, out of the Chicago Tribune. And by the way, the members, take a look at the description for the record 530, and you'll see the members of the board of directors and a good overview of the Carl Duisberg Society. Now, the Carl Duisberg Society, again, overlapping the German-American business connection and, as a result of that, derivative of that, the German-American governmental relationship, they run a number of different programs of this type. One of them was the Carl Duisberg Society, or Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft in German. That was what sponsored Atta's activities in Germany. One wonders if perhaps initially, at least, it sponsored some of Atta's activities in Florida as well. Another of the relationships which the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft sponsors, and this is on their webpage, which you can examine, is the Alpha Fellowship Program. That's spelled ALFA. That is the Russian conglomerate business and organized crime institution from which this program derives its title. On the webpage of the Carl Duisberg Society International website, well, basically on their website, there is also the Alpha Fellowship Program, described, "Nearly 15 years after the fall of the Soviet Union, Cold War-era policies and concepts continue to affect U.S. relations with Russia. The Alpha Fellowship Program is designed to address this problem." And the Alpha Corporation, again, has a great many different tentacles in highly illegal activities. It is an oil company. It is a conglomerate. It also has been involved with the Tyumen Oil Company in Russia on a contract with Halliburton Oil, that's Dick Cheney's old firm, and a major contractor, by the way, in Iraq, in post, quote, post-war, unquote, Iraq. Unfortunately, the war is not post at all. And this particular Alpha Halliburton Tyumen Oil connection overlaps what law enforcement authorities have identified as a major heroin trafficking operation as well. There appear to be some Chechens involved in that heroin trafficking operation, and heroin trafficking helps to fund some of the Islamic fundamentalist activities in Chechnya as well. In addition, the Alpha company was involved in the oil for food scam that helped to illegally market some of Saddam Hussein's oil, and in turn, that was linked to some of the bigwigs in the Republican Party. Alpha was also linked to Carlos Cardoen, an Chilean-based arms trafficker involved in both the Iran-Contra and Iraqgate affairs. And Alpha has a great many other connections as well. And one of the interesting things about Alpha is that one of the attorneys, by the way, Alpha was also involved with the Cali cartel, with some of the Central American and Latin American heroin trafficking that overlapped the Iran-Contra affair. And one of the things that Alpha was involved with was a fellow named Norbert Seeger. Now, Norbert Seeger is an attorney with Alpha. And he is one of the people that was named as a defendant in a lawsuit, and that is involved with documented in the description for the record 530. Now, again, one of the people in the Crown Alpha Network is Dr. Norbert Seeger. He was alleged by a lawsuit that was filed to have knowledge of facts pertaining to the role of Crown Finance Foundation and other Crown activities in money laundering and tax evasion activities. Seeger is involved with the Crown Alpha organization, part of the Alpha network, by the way, and that from the legal documents in a lawsuit filed in New York. But Norbert Seeger is something a whole lot more than that. Norbert Seeger, as we looked at in For the Record 530, is also the head of Liechtenstein's Progressive Citizens Party, which basically is a front for what at that time, one of the early parts of this decade, was the only absolute monarchy in all of Europe, the tiny money laundering principality of Liechtenstein. And the House of Liechtenstein basically ran that country lock, stock, and barrel for a while. It was Prince Hans Adam who did that. And in turn, the royal family of Liechtenstein is involved with the Al-Taqwa complex as well. This is where the virtual state comes in, because the royal family of Liechtenstein are conservative Catholics, alleged in an internet article that I have not been able to either disprove or verify to be Opus Dei, the lay fascist organization that has gained tremendous influence in the Vatican with both the last pope and the current pope. But certainly the House of Liechtenstein and Prince Hans Adam are conservative Catholics, very closely associated with the House of Habsburg. And yet we see in the little money laundering principality of Liechtenstein, we see elements connected to the royal family of Liechtenstein involved with the Bank Al-Taqwa, the bank of the Muslim Brotherhood, that a subsidiary of which was financing Al-Qaeda, according to numerous sources. And, of course, the Bank Al-Taqwa headed up by Youssef Nada, a former Nazi spy. A very, very interesting thing indeed. And in the Wikipedia entry on Liechtenstein, since 2001, speaking of the Progressive Citizens Party of Liechtenstein, since 2001, it has been the Progressive Citizens Party that has provided all the members of the government. The minority parties as opposition parties act as a check on the government and parliament and parliamentary commissions. And the head of that political party, Norbert Seeger of Crown Alpha. And as we looked at in our series on the Dalai Lama, one sees in the milieu, there it is again, of the Dalai Lama, a fusion of fascist elements within the Tibetan Buddhist discipline with pan-Turkist fascist elements, Muslim Brotherhood slash Al-Qaeda-linked fascist elements, and in turn, they are using native peoples to destabilize larger countries, and we see similar programs engaged in by the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization and institutions and fellowships sponsored by the aforementioned Prince Hans Adam of the House of Liechtenstein. The UNPO is headed up by Karl von Habsburg, the heir to the House of Habsburg of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, in turn, in many ways, derivative of the old Holy Roman Empire. So in the virtual state, we see Islamists, Islamo-fascists, if you will, pan-Turkist fascists, Tibetan Buddhist fascist collaborationists, and conservative Catholic fascists, again, a virtual state, a political state without formal geographical boundaries. Now, note again how Alpha overlaps the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft. One of the Karl Duisberg Society's fellowship programs is the Alpha Fellowship, just like they ran the Karl Duisberg Society or Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft that sponsored Mohammed Atta's entry into Germany and, who knows, perhaps Florida initially. And it was in Hamburg, of course, that Mohammed Atta conspired actively with the other conspirators. One wonders whether Mohammed Atta made the acquaintance of Wolfgang Boringer in Germany or in the United States. But in any event, the aforementioned Wolfgang Boringer, one of Mohammed Atta's many German and Austrian and Swiss associates in Florida. Okay? And Wolfgang Boringer, as we saw in For the Record 570, our last visit with Daniel Hopsicker, Wolfgang Boringer, an associate of Mohammed Atta, was the personal pilot for Viktor Kozeny, a notorious Eastern European criminal involved with all kinds of scams, and Viktor Kozeny was one of the defendants in a suit against Alpha. So Kozeny is involved with the Alpha group. Kozeny's pilot is Wolfgang Boringer, referred to Mohammed Atta by his brother, perhaps a Nazi, certainly a criminal, and of course, bear in mind here that we're going to follow the tentacles of this milieu, and we're going to take a look at who represents Alpha Group in the United States. Their public relations in the United States is done by Barber, Griffith, and Rogers, and in that connection, we see yet another link between the underworld of Viktor Kozeny, Mohammed Atta, and Wolfgang Boringer, and the overworld of the GOP and the powerful corporate and political interests that underlie the Bush administration and so many other things. However, we're going to go into that connection in side two. Now, as I've said so many times, those of you who are only using the or only listening to the broadcast are missing at this point the better part of the For the Record experience. People over the years have asked me when I was going to do some writing. Well, perhaps that well-intentioned query was meant, when am I going to publish a book? Good question. No plans to do it anytime soon, but I have written the equivalent of many books at this point, frankly, and they're all available on the internet for free. Please go to the www.spitfirelist.com website. There are long article-length descriptions of the broadcasts available in the For the Record section. There's also a page to click on to support the work that I'm doing, and if you don't like what's going on, there's no better way of fighting back than doing just that. And last but certainly not least, links to various other websites with all kinds of information, including websites maintained by the heroic sister station WFMU that is archiving the entire For the Record series on real audio and MP3 and also podcasting For the Record. So hang on to your seats. We're going to travel through the world of Alpha, the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft, Wolfgang Boringer, and Viktor Kozeny, and we're going to wind up at the highest, most gleaming echelons of the United States government and the GOP. But we're going to do that in Side 2. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 573, Alpha Males, One Hell of a Conspiracy Theory, Part 2, being recorded on October 15th of 2006. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.